Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly.
And you're listening to
XOXO
JK, a show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, lots of stuff. And actually this week we're taking a deep dive. Well, this is some of the kinds of episodes we like to do. We're taking a deep dive talking about the very interesting and broad world of food.
We're going to talk about food.
What's not to talk about food? I feel like there's a lot to talk about because it's good.
Well, I started making the notes for this to talk about food in the topical show.
Which I love.
And then I had like 12 bullet points and I was like, oh, this is a whole show. This is a deep dive show. Especially considering what we've both gone through in the last couple of years.
Yeah, changes in diet and I think it like relationships with food and I think like as a culture, like we're changing so much and really care about the types of food that we eat where...
I agree. I think that the tipping point has occurred with this number of food co-ops that are here now and also people realizing that although GMOs serve a purpose, like taking the seeds out of watermelons... A good purpose, and that, but there's a lot of evil involved and a lot of money being made. And so I feel like there has already been a tipping point, and that's amazing. And there's just like McDonald's is losing millions of dollars a year.
Did you hear about that this week? They were talking about that on NPR. Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, and it's good. And everything, there's a tipping point, right? Good, bad, everything in between. So I think this is one of the times when it's really good. So... Do you eat wheat? So wheat has been a hot button point, right? Over the food talks over the last few years. So that's I just wanted to ask you that.
I actually am eating no grains right now.
Grains at all.
Yeah. So I know we've talked about it in the past, like the food challenge that I was doing through my gym.
Yeah.
It actually ends today.
Oh, it does.
But I am going to continue with all the things that I've learned because it's not that hard and I feel really good and like I've dropped weight just from the food part of it.
Yeah, you look great.
Oh, thanks.
Your skin looks great too. Oh,
thank you. I'm wearing like almost zero makeup because I didn't have any time to.
The nice part about wearing zero makeup is that you start
it's to like, what? Oh my God, stop it. Natural beauty.
Yeah. Right. I remember I used to wear a lot more foundation and then I can't remember if I had like an allergic reaction
to it or what, but
I stopped wearing it because I just thought, does this really make a difference?
Yeah.
And then, so I work like concealer around my eyes and stuff, but it has, eating better has made me feel more confident about how my skin looks because it doesn't look as red because I have this like super pale skin. So any sort of irritation shows right through my skin, this like translucent. So so I stopped eating wheat.
And now, then did you, when
more
you
recently
did
start eating all grains? So
when, what was the catalyst for you to stop eating wheat?
Mostly diarrhea. Yeah. I mean, it was, my brother and I are really similar just genetically. We have like two or three of the same birthmarks. And he's always been a close friend as well. So he stopped eating gluten like when it was like 2 or 3 years ago. And then he started telling me about how much better he felt. And I don't know why it was my brother and not just anyone. Yeah. Maybe it took a personal. But I was struggling at that time, but I really didn't know what to do. I didn't have enough tools in my toolbox, but I knew I had diarrhea
all the time.
I knew that for sure. Like,
oh,
I just, I had constant,
like, irritable bowel type
gastrointestinal duress. And like, I've just lived with it. I just thought it was part of who I was. And so I know it's so weird, but it's like, you know, we're really resilient. We can cope with pain and discomfort pretty easily.
Right.
So I stopped eating. You know, the big trigger was I ate a sandwich every day for lunch and then I felt like shit between 1 and 4.
Oh, that's super interesting.
Right? Like it was just like this like hazy, like
cloudy,
sleepy, cloudy, couldn't get work done and just thought, oh, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. And then I stopped eating sandwiches for lunch, right? Like 2 big slices of bread. And I just started eating like the bread or the meat and the cheese or with inside lettuce wraps or, you know, soup for lunch instead. And it was just like, it was like I was drinking like four shots of espresso in the afternoons.
Wow.
Suddenly it was that significant.
That's impressive.
So then I was like, well, you know, I was thinking about going in to get tested or whatever. And I thought, I don't even care. If I would do whatever you told me, if I didn't, if it meant I didn't have to have, if you were like, eat sweet tarts and chewy spree every day for lunch so you won't have diarrhea, I'd be like, okay, because I don't have diarrhea.
That's amazing.
I know.
So yeah, it is an interesting thing. And then if you accidentally eat it, which I've done, you know,
yes,
after taking it out of my diet, then your body just kind of has a little revolting moment.
It's like it's an instant hangover. What is this?
I went to Anchor Fish and Chips a Friday night not too long ago. I went off the rails, and I had a beer and
holy fish and chips.
And here's what's super funny that I noticed is as I was eating it, like it was so good, right? Like it tastes amazing. But as I was eating it, I started to feel sick. Actually, like probably 20 minutes into eating, and I was like, "Oh, this isn't feel so good."
And so you ordered the beer while you're waiting for your food, right? Yeah, beer makes me feel so bad.
It was all of it, and I was like, this isn't that worth it to me," you know.
And that's what it really becomes about.
Yeah,
is what it's sort of like when you start being busy with your daily life or you're dating someone and then, or you're just added something like a new job.
And you just don't want to have diarrhea in their house.
Well, or you don't want to you don't want to say you stop drinking as much.
I can't believe we're talking about this. It's so funny.
I know, but it's so real and true. And like, if you can't talk about poop,
everybody
on
poops.
Your own podcast,
where can you
talk about
poop? Do you take probiotic at all?
I do. Well, okay. I had started taking it. I had a wicked sinus infection. You know how sick I was over Christmas? And I started taking it opposite the antibiotics they gave me because I had a sinus infection. Yep. And so I got a really great brand, which happened to be on sale at the co-op.
What, do you take the chewables or do you take the...
No, it's a capsule.
Okay.
It's refrigerated.
Yeah.
And they, the girl working at the co-op was like, this is the best you can buy for the money. You know, which is sort of my philosophy about anything I ingest. It's like, I try and buy the best, like, meat possible, the best milk, especially the stuff I eat a lot of. So, yes. Have you?
Yeah, I just started last week. And I bought this chewable ones from the co-op, which...
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be disgusting. But they actually are not. And I drink a lot of kombucha and eat the Greek yogurt and stuff like that. So
yeah, I have trouble with kombucha. I think it's too yeasty.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it doesn't sit well. I love it too. I love the idea. I'd love to have a beverage that I could do it with, but I can't.
But it's funny because I posted, like, I was like, how much probiotic is too much?
Oh, I saw that.
Yes. And then, like, this guy that I know started writing stuff about, like, pooping. And I was like, that's not... It's mostly just like trying to keep things like at healthy levels. It wasn't like I was like, I have this issue, so now I want to try to solve the issue. It was more like I just want to keep things like flowing at a good pace. And I think like your whole body, like the pH and everything, you know, like that all contributes to it. Like kimchi or like any of that stuff, like it's all good for you.
Yeah, fermented foods.
Yes, fermented really foods. And so I'm like, it's not really about... my poop situation. It's really just about...
But thanks for thinking of my poop.
And then I was like, this feels weird that we're talking about this on Instagram. But anyway, just for the record, everyone, Kate and I both poop.
Are you regular?
I am regular.
Yeah, me too. It's good.
In many ways.
Yay. But some ways, not so regular.
Just a basic pooper, you know? Basic.
Good job. This is so funny and awesome. Yeah, so probiotics are good. They can make you... It can take a week or so to get used to it and for them to work because they're kind of working to rebalance your gut. But once your gut is in good shape and healed, like, boy, does your brain work better.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
It is exactly the same tissue. There are more nerve endings in your gut than your brain.
Wow.
And so if you think about even the way it looks, like the squiggly... pink mass Think about
it. Go for like a mile or something.
Similar,
right?
That is to the, what your brain looks
That's
like.
True.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is true. Is that why they say you think with your stomach?
Well, you do.
And other parts of your body.
Yeah. So fish and chips, I didn't even think of that because they're breaded.
Uh-huh. And then like, who knows what kind of oil the, you know.
Well, and they can be like cross. The oil can be like cross contaminated. Mm-hmm. So once you get like really.
Yep.
And so if you eat wheat once in a while, like right after you stopped eating wheat, it's not going to be a problem. But the longer you get away from eating wheat, mm-hmm. the more problems you're going to have. So now if I eat something, I get like a response, like a histamine response to it. Like my back, I feel like the back of my nose and my nose cavity
blocks up.
Swell up. It's crazy.
Wow. So it is like an allergy.
Well, I think it's now it is. Because yeah. You know how they say like the further...
Yeah,
it'll be more intense if you are further away from being allergic to something. I've never, again, I should be tested, but I just haven't done that.
Well, I mean, celiac is a real deal, you know, like celiac is a real deal. And like, it's interesting to me, like, you know, gluten-free is kind of, I feel like, is an interesting concept because people, I think there are a lot of people who are like, I'm going to be healthy, so I'm going to cut out gluten. And it's like, that's not necessarily going to help you in any way.
Right.
You know, but like if you notice that it makes you feel better to not do it, I think that's amazing and that you should continue to do that. But like, I think there are some people who just like jump on the bandwagon of it. That's yeah. like, I just, you know, and like that is kind of like, well, I mean, do whatever works for you. Like, I don't really care what you do, but
but realize it is a real thing.
It is a real thing. And I, you know, I have good friends who have celiac and the amount, you know, had like ulcers in their stomach from eating wheat and gluten and all of that. And once
and
they were able to.
Celiac yeah, is like an autoimmune disorder.
Yeah. Once they could eliminate that. I mean, she was like, I never knew. I just thought it was part of my life, like you said, and mm-hmm. to know that that's not necessarily the case, like that's awesome.
Right. It is. It's just good to know, like, well, and respect, like what, when you put something in your body and it doesn't make you feel good, that that is the same as like an you know, a person that is, you know, knows they have depression and continues to drink heavily.
Yep.
Right. Like it's the same sort of behavior. Yeah. And maybe it's compulsive. And we'll talk about that a little bit more too, about mm-hmm. the relationships with food. But I really love fish and chips, and it's funny how you'll be on something and then you'll realize like after eating it a few times, you're like, oh, I forgot that fish and chips doesn't just occur. Like fish doesn't just occur like
right.
crispy and fried.
Do some serious stuff to it.
Yeah. So I've, and I didn't really want to replace, like I don't eat a lot of the gluten-free bread. Mm-mm. It's not satisfying. I just sort of omit more than anything. Mm-hmm. Well, every once in a while I really crave like a piece of toast. But you have to toast the hell out of gluten-free mm-hmm. bread to get it to behave like regular toast.
We went to breakfast yesterday morning at in between gyms and at Birchwood, and I nice. Had a lovely couple of poached eggs and some greens, and they gave a piece of toast, and I was like, I am not gonna eat that.
It's really hard, but
and I
think breakfast yeah. is the most friendly to not eating grains yeah. of any meal. Because I kind of tend to order the savory stuff.
Yes.
So if you tend to order sweet stuff, it's really hard, especially eating out.
Oh, like a waffle or a pancake?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll do the gluten-free waffle once yeah. in a while, but pancakes and French toast mm-hmm. just aren't the same.
It's not the same. No, it's yeah. not.
So shortly after I started,
yeah.
I stopped eating gluten, I also realized that I had a peanut allergy.
Really?
And I know that in autoimmune disorders, like if you have an inflammatory autoimmune disorder, I know sometimes that legumes are included in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if that when I didn't, I was so inflamed from eating all the wheat all the time, headaches and diarrhea and the whole thing that like I eliminated that. And then it kind of made room to notice other allergies. So that was, I don't think it was that it happened all at once. I just think that everything was so working overtime that then when I started to make sense of it, that the peanut allergy, I was like, why do I, like I kept clearing my throat.
Really?
And I would eat peanuts. And I was like, wait a minute. I felt like this last time I ate peanuts. And I ate a bunch one day not knowing. And I went into like, I fell asleep for like 4 hours.
Wow.
Like my body was just like, stop doing that. And then I haven't been tested. I know I need to do that soon, especially with the peanut thing, because I know how crazy allergic people can be to peanuts. But I like couldn't clear my throat, and I would get like this, people joke about food comas, but it was like, So I think it was just that I had sorted it out enough to notice it. Because mostly, where do you eat peanut butter? On bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that was always my peanut butter toast.
I love peanut butter.
So there's so many good alternatives, though.
Like almond, can you eat any?
Yeah, okay. I can eat almonds, and my favorite is sun nut butter.
Ooh, that sounds
it's
good.
It's so good.
There's like Justin's brand.
Yeah.
Almond.
Right out of the packet.
So good.
Just keep them in your car.
Yeah. I do actually, right with the baby food packets.
Like right. And it's the good thing about, you know, eliminating grains is that you end up eating a lot more vegetables, which is never bad.
It's never bad. I don't have any food allergies, actually, which is kind of great.
That is great.
And I didn't have any drug allergies for a long time up until this last summer. So now I have an allergy.
You do?
Allergy. Yeah, sulfa drugs. I learned that from a...
Oh, I'm also allergic to sulfas.
But that's it. That's the only thing.
Huh.
I know. It's so weird how that impacts. But anyway, food. I don't know. I've learned a lot like on this challenge. And I definitely eat a lot more vegetables. I've learned how to cook a lot more things. Before I came here, Before I came here, I made we're having a wrap up potluck for our food challenge tonight. So I made bacon. Like I cooked up a bunch of bacon, and then in the bacon and the bacon fat, I dumped in a bunch of kale and just mixed it all up and cooked it down. And so that's what I'm bringing to the to the food exchange tonight. Yeah, I was like, who knew this was just like so easy? You could just do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know all the ingredients that are going into it. It's very... I made my best friend try it because I was like, tell me if this is good or not. I'm too scared. And she goes, it tastes just like what it's supposed to. Bacon and kale with a little bit of lemon, because there was a little bit of lemon juice on it.
Yeah.
She's like, it's great. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. It's really good. I bought a big stock of kale this week because I'm going to make soup. I have a ham bone.
Oh.
I made that huge ham on...
I've done that with the kale.
Yeah. And
that's
then I'm
going to
I think I'm going to do butternut squash soup.
I've done that too.
With ham. I know, with ham and kale. I thought kale would just, you know, if I sauteed the kale in bacon fat and then...
That's exactly what you do.
Add it to the soup, and then it's just like an extra boost of... So I thought that would be really good, because I would typically make split pea soup, but now I'm avoiding peas and other legumes. So just to see.
The butternut squash soup I make is two ingredients. It's literally butternut squash and coconut milk. And it is like...
Oh, coconut milk. Yeah.
Perfect.
And I like seasonings?
Yeah. I mean, like seasoned to taste, basically.
Yeah.
But like... Just the two ingredients, and it is like, and I put it in, like I cook the butternut squash, and then I put it in the food processor and like puree it, and then just put in the coconut milk and mix it all up, and it is like,
that sounds so good, and
it's rich and good, and
dark soups like that are just like they warm you for longer than broth soups. I feel like
so good,
and broth is another really good thing for healing your gut. Like the collagen and like bone broth. So like the collagen.
But isn't all broth bone broth?
No, because, you know, like bouillon cubes.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, like.
Look at the back. I mean, I'm sure you could find bouillon at the co-op that has like bones and, you know, like collagen on them and stuff. But if you make bone broth, like from the carcass, like a chicken, rotisserie chicken, boil that. Just make sure like all the, you know, stuff is in there. And then the broth is actually what's left.
Wow.
After it all cooks away, right? It seems like really strange, but it's really good for your joints.
And, yeah, right. That makes sense.
And then it also has micronutrients in it that heal your digestive
system.
What
do you think about this like bone broth restaurant surge? They're like, we serve bone broth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like in New York, I know there's like a one. And then I think there's one that's opening here.
Well, I know that there's like a couple of really good ramen places here now, which makes me kind of excited, because it's great for you.
Yeah.
I think it's just like anything, right? Like there's probably places we can get like good Vietnamese restaurants right now that have great bone broth. And these people are just marketing it. So it's probably available now, but this plant is driving me crazy. I think that that plant has
fruit flies,
a couple of bugs in it. Yeah. And then when we're here on the in the studio, on the couch.
Sky Needle Studios.
Sky Needle Studios. That's what they always say. I think they're kind of like, what are you doing by me? Anyway, we're weird.
That's funny. Okay. I have a question for you. As far as, like, I think sometimes being a woman and growing up, like, we always, I, speaking from my own experience, had an interesting, like, relationship with food.
Yeah, that's what switch gears a little bit. Talk about the relationship with food, because that's kind of the breakdown. If you're even able to make a change, you always have to struggle a little bit with, like, these falling back on habits.
Yeah.
And how, you know, how you treated food growing up. Yeah.
And in our house, it was always like, you know, you had iceberg lettuce, white rice, typically white bread, you know, paired with like a meat item, like a chicken.
Yep.
Or, you know, and then milk and maybe like a microwave broccoli vegetable, frozen, whatever. Like fresh produce is like not a situation that there's lots of sugar, lots of processed foods.
And not a lot of nutrients.
Nope. Shake and bake maybe on the overcooked pork chops that we would eat. I still to this day, I went to Butcher and the Boar a week or two ago for dinner with some friends, and there was a pork chop which I'm sure, well, I know it was amazing because a couple people I was with ordered it.
Yeah, it's famous.
It's their famous. Pork chop is but pretty. Like in my brain, what I think of is like this tiny, dry, overcooked, in like covered in shake and bake mix. and I can still picture my mom like putting the shake and bake in a Ziploc bag and like shaking it around. Like that's what I envision. And then these amazing like pork chops come out. I mean, just probably like 4 inches thick, like insane.
Yeah. And that pork chop at Butcher and Boar is crazy.
And so that not great food at all. And cranberries from the can, like just. So I think, and my mom too, I think always liked to comment on what I was eating as a kid.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, like that messes with your brain a little bit. And so I started to become like a little bit of a secret eater. Mm-hmm. I didn't like to eat in front of people because I didn't need to have people judging me or talking about what I was eating. And so I often would like hide food and eat it by myself. And it wasn't like like I wasn't like an overweight kid or anything like that. It wasn't like a situation like that. It was just I didn't. And even to this day as an adult, I'm 37 and my best friends will be like, you don't eat enough. You don't eat enough. And it's weird. Like I do a lot better now, but like in dating and stuff like that, I always hated like when we'd have to go out to dinner because I'd have to eat in front of them. Now it's like a total not issue for me, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dealing with that, it's like, and no one is judging you. Like, you have to eat to live. Like, that's a.
Right.
But it's such an interesting thing. Like, people who are food addicts and stuff like that, I just think that is so hard because your addiction is something that you need to live. It's not like heroin or alcohol. It's like literally you have to eat to live.
That's why food stuff is so, and disordered eating and are so, it's so tricky to break. Is because you do need it to live.
Yeah.
And I mean, our parents teach us how to do everything, right? So it's like whether or not you want them to be in that role or not. You know, like they teach us how to like interact with people at the grocery store. They teach us how to think about work. They teach us how to, you know, treat our families, treat each other, treat our children eventually. They teach us how to eat. They teach us about our relationships with food. And like if there's any shame involved, like it becomes a thing. Whether or not you think it's a big deal or not, or whether or not it happened a lot or not, or there was yelling or not, it's all so personal. But it does. It paves that path. It's like that's why they say modeling is so important. Like not having a mom who gets on the scale every night and watching her do that.
Right.
You're going to be critical of your body.
I think like at my gym, you know, my friends who bring their kids to the gym, and the kids are little, 2, 3, 4, you know, or even a little older, and because they can't stay home by themselves or whatever. Yeah. I think it's amazing because I tell them this every day. I'm like, you don't know how cool I think this is because your kids see you doing this. Like, this is a thing that you're doing for yourself.
Yeah.
They're going to follow in your footsteps. It's just how their life is. And we had a food exchange a couple weeks ago for this food challenge where we all made a dish and then swapped it out. And we had like a full, you know, 5 days of food that was healthy and part of the plan.
Oh, fun. An exchange.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my friends, Morgan, brought her daughter, Zinnia, will be 3 in May. And she just like ate everything. And I was like, that is so cool. It's like she just eats what you give her. And like, that's part of your life, you know? It's,
yes.
Like there's no.
So big.
Yeah.
And I just read an article about the tyranny of the chicken finger because it doesn't even look like chicken looks coming off the bone.
Oh my God, no.
And I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. So we roast a lot of like whole chickens and my kids eat chicken on the bone. Yeah. We do eat, you know, boneless, skinless breasts, you know, like occasionally too. Like I cook them up for salads or whatever, but they always sort of see the process.
Yeah.
And not saying like I've done it right because I haven't. There's a lot that I've done wrong, but it's like food stuff has always been so important for me to like show them where it comes from.
Right.
But that made me think of the tyranny of the food of the chicken strip and how it's not even.
No. And I don't know if we talked about this or if I told you about this, but I went.
We should mention that Louie is in the studio today, Jen's dog, and we'll talk more about that later. But
he's snoring.
If there's occasional giggles, it's because we have a snorer,
a 10-pound snorer.
Adorable. Sorry, I interrupted
he's
you.
He's like so comfortable. No, I love it. But I was home in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago, and I went to lunch with my parents and my nephew. And he's 4, and like I had a salad and like a steak and
yum.
Yeah. And it was like, because I was on this food challenge. And so most of the things that were on this menu were not compliant. And plus just better food. And he got to order a grilled cheese and French fries. So all the food is the same color. And I got this salad and he was so hungry. He was like, why? I got the salad first. He's like, why did you get food and I didn't? And I was like, well, I ordered the salad. Like our food's going to all come out at the same time, but this comes out early. I said, do you want some of this? And, you know, giving him some cucumbers, tomatoes. He's like, no, I don't eat those. And I was like, wow, you're 4. And you don't, I mean, I know like kids have things and like.
Right. But they should be able to identify like
healthy, good food.
Yeah.
And I also like the food pyramid, you know, like the food pyramid that we learned about in school. Such a joke. It really is such a joke. All that is like money from, you know, big farm. And like, it's just, it's sad that it's like, it's about money and it's about who's sponsoring what and who needs what bill passed.
Yeah.
And not at all about what is truly healthy.
The reason we drink cow's milk is because of marketing. The end. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, and to think about milk too, it's like, we're the only animal that continues to drink milk after we're a baby.
Yeah, like, I mean, my kids never drink cow's milk. Like,
no.
And I'm trying to like just say, I say it in like regular conversation. Like they never did that. It's not a sweeping statement or something that I expect a reaction from. I hope that eventually I don't get one because it's better for them. Like it's just so ridiculous, especially skim milk and milk that's stripped of all its nutrients. Like the only good thing about drinking whole milk is the nutrients.
Right.
Like if you love the taste, and I know, I just got like
anything that comes out of an udder, I just have an issue with.
Well, I love cheese. You know, I love
it's not
butter.
Like
oh my
cheese
God.
And butter is not like direct from an udder. It's like you got to do some stuff.
I know.
I mean, milk, it pasteurized, whatever, but it's literally straight out of an udder.
Okay.
That makes me grossed out.
I get it. No, it does.
Also,
it's gross.
I have a bad connotation with milk because my mom used to set the table for dinner.
Oh, you told this story. Yes.
Yeah.
And it would be warm and like room temperature.
Gross.
Yeah. I mean, I drink it in, you know, I'll get like a latte with whole milk or occasionally
coconut milk works
coconut
for me.
Milk is so good. I love it. So that's what my boys drink too. But wheat, oh my God, I found this unbelievable statistic about wheat that It has been, I'm going to read it to you, okay? I know this is usually your thing, but I'm going to do it today.
I love it.
Common wheat harvest protocol in the United States is to drench the wheat fields with Roundup.
Ooh.
Or similar, several days before the combine harvesters work through the fields as practice allows for an earlier, easier, and bigger harvest.
That's what it's about.
So it could be that your body reacts to wheat because of
the gross pesticides and everything.
Sensitive to chemicals. Like, some people are more sensitive to chemicals. We know this from people being allergic to perfume.
Right.
Or hairspray. Or scents. Because those are all chemicals. But it could be the gluten, for sure. I mean, 100%, it could be celiac, gluten-based. But it could be that the wheat that you're eating is total shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how much do we really know about the processes behind whether or not the organic industry we know and currently have in the United States? Like, we all know that even doctors are people that they could be shitty people doing mm-hmm. a well-educated position, right? Like, we could have breaks in that system that we don't know about. So even if you are eating organic wheat, you could be getting not great wheat, right, or cross-contaminated wheat or wheat that's now grown organic that used to be grown on these, you know, non-organic farms or whatever. I'm hoping that, you know, the wheat that you're getting is healthy and yeah. good and not pesticide laden. But I read that and I was like, Jesus, like, I am sensitive. I'm super allergic to some perfumes. Like, even riding in an elevator will cause me to get hives from,
oh wow,
like my, you know, like chest area up to my ears. And so I know that about myself. So maybe that's
yeah
why. And I always bought, you know, better bread and bread that wasn't, you know what I mean, full of chemicals that I knew of. But that's just, well, like, such a staggering thing.
You know, I get, like, the bigger harvests and stuff, like GMOs, you know, we're kind of, wasn't that like a whole feed the world kind of thing? Like, we can get more food, process right. more food, we can feed more people.
What expense?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you watch any of those, like, food docs and stuff? I haven't.
I watched one, but then I know, like, I get the basic message, mm-hmm. and that's usually enough because I have such limited time to watch.
Yeah, super, I watched Super Size Me when that came out, but, like, outside of that, like Food Inc. or any of that,
I just feel greasy. Like, after watching it, I was like aware of my face.
No.
And
yeah,
just like, ugh.
Don't get me wrong. Smell. Like, sometimes if I've had too much to drink, I'll be like, McDonald's.
Oh my god! A couple days ago, Kyle Madsen, who's Solace on Twitter, said something, retweeted a tweet from Taco John's. It was like potato Olays in like a heart-shaped container.
Yeah.
Like something about doing Valentine's Day upright. And I immediately replied. I was like, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't mm-hmm. think of potato Olays.
Yep.
Like, I'm not a huge, you know, but like every once in a while I have a hankering for filet of fish.
Oh yeah.
Or potato Olays. And Taco John's replied back and said, you're our kind of girl.
That's awesome.
Now, I haven't actually been to a Taco John's in probably a little over a decade.
Wow.
Well, there's not very many of them around here. But anyway, it was just hilarious. It was a hilarious exchange of, like, my, you know, like, college life and also relationship with food stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd go there and, like, get potato Olays and just eat them in your car and
yep.
how fucked up that is.
I just want you to know my dog is also on a grain-free diet, but he just farted something fierce, and I apologize for that.
We should get him some probiotics.
Yeah, I'm like, and he's still sleeping too. Dang.
Good job.
Anyway, grains sleeping apparently don't make that much of a
That's
difference
life.
For dogs.
Well, and I think it's good to acknowledge how little we know and how far we've come
mm-hmm.
in knowing about food. Like, I know that this week a big story was the U.S. is lifting its, like, kind of long-term thoughts and considerations about cholesterol. And that's been pretty great because I'm trying to open that link right
Me
now,
too.
But you know, we know that adding cholesterol, as long as it isn't like saturated fat or trans fat, that adding cholesterol, if you have high cholesterol, won't increase. Like, if you eat 6 eggs a day, it won't necessarily increase your cholesterol. It's that it doesn't work that way. And I love that we know more than ever.
Yeah.
But also to take things with a grain of salt, know that you should just be listening to your body more than anything. And that no one thing is going to solve all problems. So we know, eat a lot of veggies, right? And that, like, that solves so many things. It solves hunger, mostly. Like, knowing that when you eat a big, huge plate or a small bowl of veggies or whatever, that you will be satisfied because of the fiber content and the nutrients and the color and how dense they are.
You kind of reset.
Yeah.
If you do like an elimination type thing, you kind of reset how things taste and how your brain.
Oh, sweet.
And what
too,
you,
sugar.
And what you, what looks appetizing.
Mm-hmm. You That's do. And then you just start weighing it. Like, I feel so good. And like you said, like after 30 days of the whole food or whole 30.
Yeah. Well, we're doing like a variation of that because it's, like for a whole 30 type thing, it's everything at one time. And that's can be like
a lot
of.
Oh, and I loved their approach.
Yeah. We just did like one new thing a week so that you could still continue to do the old things and then incorporate something new.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole 30 is basically like it's follows paleo pretty close. Like no grains, no dairy, no sugar.
But they just start it like on a Sunday.
It's like
you just start
all of it at
that's
one
not
point.
A great way to do it.
Yeah. And then.
Because of our relationship with food and
And depriving, you know, is I think is hard. But if you just have like one thing that you're sort of focusing on and continuing the things you've already successfully done, Sugar Week wasn't so bad. Although I did make a joke about how I wanted to just take a bite out of my cherry chapstick, but it wasn't so bad. And then when you do have something really sweet, you're like a piece of candy or something. And my friend Sarah and I were talking about this morning, actually, it's almost kind of gross, you know, like you're like, I don't really need
coated.
To. Yeah. And then I was talking about how if you use dates instead to like make stuff or whatever, it tastes the same to me now.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And that is
a
reset.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, like getting to the end of it, no matter, you know, which your approach is. It's like getting to the end of it and acknowledging how much work you've done and that you want to continue it.
Yeah.
Is really, I mean, isn't that sort of the bigger work?
Totally.
Of doing something like that. And I'm the same way with sugar. I gave it up. I mean, I eat ice cream pretty regularly, but when I eat sugar now.
How could you not?
Yeah. When I eat sugar, just straight like candies and stuff, I just, it is like.
Like one is enough.
I feel it immediately. Mm-hmm. I feel the effects immediately. And I feel like I get like twitchy, like almost like restless leg syndrome. I would guess that this is what it feels like. Like my legs get twitchy and I'm sort of restless. And especially because most conventional candy has high fructose corn syrup in it, which we now know is.
Do you remember that commercial that was super interesting? It was like the two women at like the kid's birthday party or whatever. And she's like. She was making like some juice or something, and the woman was like, "You're really gonna serve that?" And she's like, "Yeah, high fructose corn syrup. It comes from corn. It's
oh my god, yes,
healthy and natural." Like, do you remember that?
I freaked the fuck out when those commercials came out.
I was like, "What?"
Yeah, it was.
We'll
nuts.
Have to look that up so we can link to it. But it was really interesting. Like they were trying to market it as it's great for your kids,
right? Healthy and. And just fine. But we know now that high fructose corn syrup actually prevents your brain from knowing when your body is full. I mean, that is crazy. That is so creepy and crazy.
Just crazy.
So my thing used to be that I would, because I was also a secret eater, and I would eat Oreos. Like that was one of my things. And I, like, as soon as I... like didn't want to buy and compulsively eat Oreos anymore. I knew how far I had come. You know what I mean?
They are good.
And now it's like one or two is more than enough. And I also can't have the wheat that, you know, the cookies are made from, which
helps.
Probably the worst wheat you can buy on earth, I'm guessing.
Do you order Girl Scout cookies?
No, I stopped because I'd rather just like donate, $100 to the Girl Scouts of America. If I really wanted that, you know, to be if that was one of my values, I would just do that.
I do order them.
You do?
I do.
Well, I can't. I just can't.
Yeah.
Because I can't really eat cookies anymore.
Yeah. My friend's daughter, who I adore, is a very great salesperson.
Oh.
She is in first grade.
If I had that, I might, and then maybe. I know you can send them to the troops now.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to eat them.
Which do we want? Do we really want our troops high on gross cookies.
I mean, I like the Thin Mints. It's just like, damn. And I think it's so great. It's only once a year. So when it's gone, it's gone. It's like you can't just continue to get them. Yeah. It's like literally you're going to eat them at this time and then they're going to be done.
Yeah. One of the great things about being, you know, not eating wheat and being gluten-free is that it eliminates most desserts.
Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of insane. I mean, how few desserts I can eat anymore, which, I mean, that's not a bad thing. Trust me. But I do, I indulge in really, and I buy really good ice cream.
Like what kind?
Well, I really am particular to Izzy's.
Ooh, so good.
It's chewy. It is so good. Satisfying. And like, they're kind of, they're, you know, really creative when it comes to flavors. And they're fun about it. Like they have that little Izzy that they put on top. Yep. So you can always like try a second kind.
I love going there.
Yeah. We love it. It's become sort of a tradition. Like we swing by because that's such a beautiful store too in downtown Minneapolis.
I know. I'm so glad they have that one.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And it's architect design and that's their facility now.
Where they make it.
Yeah.
So do they still have the one in St. Paul too?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's I think that's just a retail store now. Oh. So, yeah, we buy a couple different, mix them, and this week we had salted caramel and a Guatemalan. So it was almost like a caramel latte. You know,
that
coffee and
so good.
Salted caramel, so that was really good. But my favorite always is, of course, Oreo.
Oh my God.
So that much Oreo doesn't really bother me.
You know what?
Tummy.
I love chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, I've got some right now. Yeah, it's good. Well, you don't need a lot of it either because it's so rich. We're only 10 feet from my freezer.
I will be right back. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I did, I don't know if you've heard of the program called Emily's program.
Yes, I have.
The Emily program.
Yes.
So I did about a year there because I knew after the divorce and after my depression issues are mostly managed by, I do have some. Like every once a year or so, not by the watch, but
yeah.
I'll have like a really low time. But I would say they're 99% managed. And then I really realized that I had these habits that were built that I couldn't break. Like I would find myself like taking a handful of cheese out of the bag like I used to always do. And
oh, yeah.
I would find it like in like the tips of my like the lips and be like, what am I doing? I don't want to do this. So then that was a point where I was like, knew that I needed to like intervene because I was continuing to have the habit, but I no longer needed to cope and then of course, like the first month I went to Emily, she said like, you successfully coped with food during your marriage. I mean, not you should be glad that it wasn't alcohol or drugs, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you successfully, it was just a really distinct sentence to me that I used it to cope and that it was.
Now you're past.
And now I'm past it and I'm healed. And then to continue to do it is just a habit. And then it just is involved in breaking that habit. So it,
wow.
Like, yeah, it was pretty incredible. And their protocol, like you don't diet at all. I mean, I think you're in the program 6 or 9 months before they change your food.
Wow, because you're working on the mental parts.
Yeah, which is super smart. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a good program. And I switched insurances and had to stop going because of cost reasons.
Wow.
But I learned so much in that first year there. And you meet with a nutritionist as part of the protocol, too. They like sort of build a plan for you. But having her just kind of say these truths that I, you know, thought were maybe true for a long time. She's like, do you remember when you started binging? Because I binged, I didn't purge. So I would like have all the calories.
And then it wouldn't.
And I was like, yeah, it was right after I got married.
Are you just readjusting here? And
no, it's fine.
Sleeping dog.
Sleeping dog. But, you know, like having like, I've really never said that.
Yeah.
I'd never put it together.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Right. Like having it correspond so closely with getting married and how that like you're not necessarily consciously aware of things like that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, getting married at a younger age. So.
Well, I think like boredom too, like boredom plays a huge role in food too.
It does.
Like it's like if you don't have things to do, what do? You go open the refrigerator. and like look in and eats food.
Yeah.
Like, that's just to fill time or to, you know, if you're lonely or whatever, you eat food, you know,
yeah.
You do all these things. And yeah, I don't know. It's been an interesting journey, like on this workout thing that I've been doing, because I need to eat in order to perform. And I like find myself reading a lot more about like healthy eating and sort of what foods are good to eat for certain purposes. And we have a nutritionist that goes to our gym, and she writes a bunch of blog posts about different things each week. Yeah. And it's super helpful because like I've met with a nutritionist in my past too, but for whatever reason, it just didn't stick for me. Like I didn't.
You have to be engaged in the right space.
Yeah.
Too.
And I just didn't
pick up things.
Yeah.
Like
and
that.
I didn't want to spend the time to learn how to cook and to do all those things. And I don't know, for me now, like I've noticed in the last probably 5 years, like I actually really pay attention to the types of food, where it comes from, if it's quality food. Like I wish fast food, like I think fast food should be like the most expensive. Because it's the most disgusting. And that, like, you know, because when you go to a fine dining restaurant, it's appropriate size portions, or sometimes what you might consider like really small, but but it's high quality food. And
yeah,
like why shouldn't it be opposite? You know, if you want to have the shitty food that's disgusting and bad for you, pay more money for it. Like that would just flip the whole world on its
I know there was a program in Detroit called Double Up Food Bucks that offered if you bought 50% of your more of your food organic or cross, that they would double your food stamp amount.
Really?
Which is like, that's radical.
That's huge.
Right? But that's the sort of thing, is that it, you know, people that are low income can't afford to go to the grocery store and spend $100 on half a bag of groceries.
No, but you can go to the farmer's market and use, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's totally. A pretty cool you can, thing. Yeah, and that was part of it too, which I love that. I love that program. I love the idea of that so much. But the, you know, the idea is to not change everything at once, to try and, like the thing you eat the most, try and buy that organic.
Yeah.
So if you do drink a lot of milk and eat a lot of, say you eat cereal for two meals a day, no judgment, try and buy cereal that's made from better things.
Yep.
Try and buy granola that you can also include nuts or, you know, better like chia seeds or other ingredients like that in. And then buy organic milk. And then you also, there's nothing wrong with it becoming a more thoughtful process altogether. Because when you're buying organic milk, you're thinking, I just drank a cup of milk that was $1.25. So there's nothing wrong with that process becoming more aware of, you know, what you're consuming too. It can be
like
an adjustment,
eggs,
but
you know, like I always buy the organic.
Buy the best eggs.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of eggs, so I buy the best eggs
too.
I can afford.
And it's like, you know, you go to Cub Foods and it's like $1 for a dozen eggs or whatever. But if you like I buy from the co-op and it's like $4 for a dozen eggs, but you know where they're coming from.
Right.
And yeah, I know the farm that they're coming from. I always think of
oranges.
Like the Portlandia skit, which I send to everyone all the time. Where it's like, can you tell me about this chicken and what was his name and what kind of life did he have and what?
And then they're like at the farm.
Yeah, and then they go to the farm to see where the chicken came from.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little extreme. But it's nice to know, like, oh, this comes from a farm and, you know, wherever they have farms.
Well, and if you find something that works for you, you know, like we had a really good flank steak the other day that was like carne asada, spicy. And then I roasted a cauliflower. And you know what? I'm going to eat that once a week until I'm tired of it. So if you find something that you really like start eating it. Like if it is a roasted chicken or sweet potatoes instead of mash, like you don't have to necessarily know everything at once.
Right.
If you find like two things you can be really good at making, then you'd be like, hey, if I could make a chicken, I could probably make a pork roast. You know, and then translate that as you go. So
it's true. I've learned how to make lots of things. And here's how.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Well, you're my inspiration, but also the internet. It's like you can just type in some words and then like the information I'm not going to lie. I looked up how to cook down spinach this morning because I was making eggs with spinach and other vegetables. And so I like cooked down the spinach first and then put it all together. And I was like, oh, I would never have known that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
There are no lack of food bloggers.
It's true.
For sure. So let's use that to our advantage.
Turns out you can just log into the internet.
Yeah. And oh, I started also drinking coffee with coconut oil in it in the morning.
You told me about that.
So it's delicious.
I got to do that. I haven't started yet.
It is so good for your brain. And if you have any trouble with coffee acid-wise, it is also good because it breaks down the alkaline and, forgive me, I don't know the science behind it, but
the acidity.
There's a million places to read about it. So then my friend Stephanie, who is a Fresh Tart Steph on Twitter, is fully immersed in the autoimmune protocol, paleo.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And she is a trained chef. So it's a secondary thing she's doing. It's not like, you know, it's not her initial
approach.
But that's
like a big alignment with CrossFit is the paleo.
Yeah.
Diet.
I mean, it's like more protein. Yep. The darker color vegetables, rainbow, the better. Yep. And then she eats like a lot of good fats.
Yep.
And so
a lot of oils and.
Yeah. So she started drinking Bulletproof Coffee, which is you put in MCT oil, which is a concentrated coconut oil. And then she also puts collagen, which is like, just like it's like bone broth. Sort of same properties. And then you use a tablespoon of ghee or grass-fed butter. So ghee is just clarified butter.
Yep.
It's just a really strange name. It's most often used in Indian cooking, which is the name. Why the name? But you can also just use a tablespoon of...
Do you use your immersion?
No, I just put it in a regular blender. And then it's... No joke. It tastes like the best latte you've ever had.
Yeah.
There's nothing weird about it. There's no oiliness. There's the butter essentially acts like milk.
Yeah.
Right? It's just the...
And then it's got protein.
And then it's full of protein and it's frothy. So you could technically have 2 cups of that if you're like, quote unquote, not a breakfast person. This has calories and nutrients.
Wow.
So you could do that. And it's been especially helpful on days where I, like this past week, 2 weeks, I picked up a contract at this place that is physically located in Bloomington. And it has been a huge adjustment. We're working on buying a house. So it's like, I'm just trying to like...
Burning the candle up both ends, basically.
And it's sort of like when you decide to do it, it's not a big deal, right? Like I decided it's going to be nuts for a few weeks and just did it. But it's been really nice to have that like to-go thing where I'm not skipping breakfast. It's as many calories as I typically eat for breakfast. Yep. And then I can totally tell in my energy and like in my like joint pain and flexibility and stuff, even after like 5 of those coffees, it's insane.
Wow. That's you're just awesome.
Drinking it on an empty stomach. So you're getting all the benefits of it.
That's awesome.
But the name turned me off a little bit because I thought
Bulletproof.
Is that like a weightlifting thing? Like I thought, and not that I'm against, because all I see is great things happening from people lifting heavy things.
What are you talking about?
Lifting heavy shit. But I was like, is this going to be like one of those things where, I don't know. Yeah. I just didn't love that. But then I started reading about it. I was like, oh, the person that came up with it is just, you know, it's, it just, I don't know why that sort of.
I'm going to try it. You know, it's been on my radar for quite some time. And I need to learn how to make good coffee.
Yeah.
That's a struggle that I have. I have a Keurig or whatever that...
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
No,
French
press and like the whole thing. I would Chemex. Really like to,
You know, Peace Coffee had a great class.
They did.
Like a one Saturday class, I think.
Well, geez.
Where you can learn how to just use a Chemex.
Yep.
It's so easy. It took me a couple tries. You know, and then I just jotted down the little measurements because I essentially make the same coffee every morning, right? I like make like 2 cups.
I love coffee so much.
Yeah. And this is just a really great way to like get extra nutrients. Yep. I've been loving it. And I ordered everything I needed from Amazon. So it wasn't like another trip to the store or.
Yeah.
And Stephanie recommended that as far as pricing goes too. It's just hard to get those things here. So, but that's been kind of awesome.
I love that.
So, congrats on coming so far in food stuff. That's a huge deal. Hey, you too,
girlfriend.
God, it's not easy to break that stuff. If you have comments on and stuff to contribute to this conversation, which I'm sure you do, please, I'm going to start a post on our Facebook page about it so we can offer tips and tricks and help to each other.
Links.
As we continue.
On our food journey, our lifelong food journey till we die.
Right? Sounds like a plan.
You have to eat to live.
And yeah, then if so you might as well be satisfied.
Yeah.
So, again, we have a Facebook page. Go and join
XOXO the XOXOJK podcast.
Yeah. And I got the all the X's and O's and J's and K's capitalized.
That's amazing. They wouldn't let you do that?
No, it's like it's sort of like a last name with, you know, three capitals or something. They just want to make sure it's like proper.
Weird.
Yeah. Our producer, Kyle's last name has three capital letters in it, and they still haven't let him change his. So it's just like, it's essentially misspelled. It's like my last name is O'R-E-I. The R is capitalized. That wasn't a problem from the beginning, but it's like, if I have to like not capitalize that R or leave the apostrophe out, like
weird.
It's misspelled.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's like adding an extra L to your last name or leaving out the C.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the
that
same
is weird.
Element. So anyway, they allowed me to do it. I don't know why.
They allowed me.
I read them the Riot Act.
Good and, for you.
No, it's fine. I just am glad because it is such a big part of our identity is the all caps. All caps.
It really is.
So go there. Write your comments. And
interact with us on the interwebs.
And we will probably mention you on a future show.
Yep.
Because we've pretty much talked about everyone who's commented. Thanks for joining us today and for listening to our food battles.
You're the best.
What?
You're the best.
You're the best.
You're the best.
Like I'm hungry.
This is Jen. You can find me over on Twitter at Jen Shaw or on the internet at jenshaw.com.
And this is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate.
You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
XOXO.
JK.